Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's pick up at verse 11. We may have gotten a little further, but we'll pick up at verse 11. And Paul's writing about the Israelites, and he used that as an example about how they murmured and complained throughout the wilderness, even though God was providing for them and protecting them and nourishing them throughout that travel, throughout their travel. And Paul writes in verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And this is, you would think that when they came out, they had it made.
Yeah.
No more bondage, no more bricks, no more straw, no more Egyptian oppression.
Total provision from the Lord.
Total provision from the Lord.
Shoes that didn't wear out,
clothes that didn't get holy, air conditioner, LED light. They had it all. But again, the whole point that Paul and we to keep in mind is the reason he brought them out was for service. When he goes out there, when you think about I always get sidetracked. Though when you think about it, they're in Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. They come out of Egypt to the wilderness, headed to Canaan. That's a good question. That's so they come out of Egypt, out of bondage, right?
Right.
So right. So they're redeemed in the wilderness. They're sanctified. You know what he said? Let us go 3 days, he said, to serve, to worship. So they come out. What's the next step?
Service.
When they were here, that's the first thing God said. He says, "Let my people go that they may
serve me.
I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey." Not to, and he told him, he said, "Be careful when you get over here, when you get your honey, get up under your tree, and you'll forget. You'll forget me."
Right.
Did they forget him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the way. But he said this, let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. What does he mean fall? Did he mean that?
Well, go ahead. Well, it just, when you said that, it made me think of when Paul talked about, to go back to the law, you fall into grace. So falling would be to move away from all that God has provided for.
Exactly. And his goal was for them to be a servant nation. And he says, take heed lest you fall. There, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, we don't read it that way. We always look for a way out of temptation.
Right.
You know, one thing I was reading, this is a while ago, it says, one thing is sure, that opportunity knocks, but temptation leans on the doorbell. He's always there. It's always presented. We are presented with it all the time. And when they came out, it wasn't long before they were tempted to go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. Back to the, I think we...
Beaks and the garlic and the melons.
All that. They forgot about the oppression. They forgot about the oppression, about the bondage they were in.
They got the grass, it's always greener expression.
I think that was from Lot. Maybe from Lot, the grass was greener.
Forgot about the bad stuff. All I remember the good stuff.
That's it. But you know what, and that's what Romans said, what fruit had you in those things whereof you're now ashamed? You don't think about it until after the fact. That's why Paul in Romans 7, he says that the deceitfulness of sin, it deceived me and slew me. You might know. Well, I almost said you might know. You do know. You know it's no good. You know it's, as they say, it makes you, it costs you more than you want to pay. Well, that's the last thing he said. It makes you stay longer than you want to stay.
Keep you too long, costs you too much.
It makes you stay longer than you want to stay, uh-huh. And it costs you more than you're willing to pay. But we still do it. Whatever, we still go into it.
Well, I was just thinking, because for knowing, I can say to you, because first you suspend that knowledge. First you suspend God for the moment, because you're going to go do the sin. And if you have God right there with you, you're not going to do the sin. So first you have to box God off and go forward.
Now here's a good.
And Hebrews talks about the passing pleasures of sin. Therefore, your foresight is just
right.
You're concentrated on that momentary passing pleasure.
The old man is temporal.
Yeah.
Right.
We sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporal pleasure, and I think it is say the passing, the pleasures of sin for a season. Mm-hmm. Just for a little while. After that, you say, why did I do that? But I was going to ask the question is, you said we box God out. How do you box today, in today's dispensation? You can't box him out.
If you purposefully sin, you are good.
I mean, you think he's in us all,
oh, yeah,
by the Holy Spirit, but you think that you're blocking him out.
Yeah, in your mind, you're not considering him, I guess,
right,
is how I should put it.
Well that's because you're walking by sight
and flesh,
and not by faith, what you know to be true.
What you know to be true is, well, we told the Corinthians in chapter 6, he says, he's not in heaven. He's not way off in the third heaven. He's on Virginia Cove. He's in us. You know, there was a time in the Old Testament when the verse, we'll get back to this. Well, that's not, he says that there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. What does that tell you about the temptations that not only they went through, but we go through?
Is that you could resist them?
Are you sure?
That's what it says.
They're not
insurmountable. I'm not saying I've always been good at anything, but I'm saying that's the fact.
He says, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You can't say like, why me? Everybody thinks that, don't they? Why me, Lord? and you think you're no different than the other guy.
Right.
You know, Elijah, he went back and he sat down and he's like, I'm done. He said, I'm the only one left. Why me, Lord? They're after me. I'm doing this for you. And he says, I've got how many?
7,000.
Besides you. 7,001.
Not Baal. Bent their knee to Baal.
But as far as Elijah was concerned, I can't take it anymore. I'm the only one left. Didn't he think that?
Mm-hmm.
He says, and did he make a way for Elijah? Sure he did. He made a way for him. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, who's he calling dearly beloved?
His fellow believers, brothers.
The Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Now he's speaking as to wise men, but one thing we know about the Corinthians, what?
Don't you just love
Paul? He starts off, he says, my dearly beloved. And he wasn't just coating it on. He's, you know what, I care for you.
Yeah, and he's not saying, I speak to wise men.
I speak, you know what? I'm. You ever seen an adult talking to a kid as a grown person?
Like they should understand.
Like they, right? Like they're having a conversation with them. And you know the kids, like, you know that Charlie Brown? He's not processing any of this. And Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he said, I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. He says, just be mature for a moment so you can understand this principle. He said, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? They would have to say what?
Yes.
For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And he's talking about, we know the bread and the blood. He says, we're partakers. One thing we did learn last week that he's talking about the provision that the Lord has made for them. Is he not?
Yeah.
Just like they came out, they were under the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized under Moses. They drank the same spiritual drink. They ate the same spiritual meat. They followed that rock, and that rock that followed them, which was Christ. He says, you're the same way, the Corinthians. He says, you're partakers of the same bread, the same blood. And we don't know, in chapter 11, he says, now we know looking back, that what? It's his body. And we know that his blood was the benefits of the New Testament that he had to offer. He said, we're partakers of that. We are one body partaking of one bread. Verse, he says, is it the cup of blessing? Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the common union of the blood of Christ, the bread, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Is it not? Yes. He starts out, you remember in chapter 3, he says, you're saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul, I'm of Christ. He said, Is Christ divided?
No.
He says we're all after the same thing. And we're all under him.
Amen.
He says all things are, well, he said all things are yours, whether it's me or Paul or Apollos. He said we're all one goal.
Yeah.
He recognized the one body, the oneness. For 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. 18, behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Question mark. Are they partakers of the altar?
Well,
the Jewish people.
Yeah, the ones that he said.
Well, the priests ate of the. That's how they were provided for. They ate of what was brought. That's how they were
right.
Sustained.
Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?
Yes.
Yes. He says, what? When he says the altar, he says, are they not partakers of the altar? What's going on at the altar?
Sacrifices.
And they did. They ate that meat. Look at Exodus. Exodus 13. Kind of jump around here for a minute. 13, when they came out of Egypt, verse 11. Kind of going the long way, but he says, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Now, I read all that because when they sacrifice, what are they reminded of?
Their redemption.
When they came out, where the Lord slew the what? Firstborn of Egypt. But his firstborn, they do what? They redeem it. So you got one, we'll just say one is destroyed, right? One is redeemed. That's the Lord. What can I put there? Huh? Mm-hmm. The enemy? I was looking for somebody to say something. To really reach back and grab one. She said the enemy, that's great. Would you get, if you had to give that enemy a common name, what would you?
Satan?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Cain? I don't know what you're
called. Well, where did they come out of?
Egypt.
Yeah.
The Assyrian.
That's good. Yeah, I was. You know what he called? He called Pharaoh.
The Assyrian. The dragon.
I just thinking of that. It's not important. But when they sacrifice, when they said, "What is this? What does this mean?"
Yeah.
And they would know that they would. This is what they would think. That God in his strength, what?
Delivered
us, redeemed us, brought us out of Egypt. That's why we do this. That's why they took the Passover. It was to remind them of what happened. So when they ate the Passover, mm-hmm. and they were partakers, they're saying we are partakers of what?
The redemption of the Lord.
The redemption of the Lord on our behalf. It should always, he said it should be before their eyes always. And not just that. He says, okay, I want to take all the firstborn, right? Okay. What did I say? That we Exodus? Look at, Numbers. Then we'll get back over here. Numbers chapter, I think it's chapter 1. That's wrong. Numbers.
Is there an allusion to seed in that first one?
What do you mean?
Well, you were coming up with all these names, and he talked about the proto-evangel, and he says the seed of the woman will destroy the seed of the. Because I'm looking at firstborn, and I'm just.
Oh, you can go back that far. Sure, sure. You can go back to. It's a.
It's the same play over and over again, just through a
different characters.
Set of, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
picture.
I.
Picture.
Yes.
The same.
You know what? He'll raise up seeds until the seed comes. Chapter 3. I'm sorry. I said chapter 1, but Numbers chapter 3. Right. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken
the Levites
from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn. That openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. Now, what he did was he went from the firstborn and the animals and the males, and he says, going back now I want what?
Levi.
wonder why he picked Levi. Why did he just, he says, well, forget the firstborn of the animals and the other males. He says, pick one guy, pick one tribe, and I want him to be my firstborn.
Is that God narrowing things down, just like first it was Abraham? I mean, when he's narrowing down the...
He's definitely narrowing it down, isn't he? Now, I'm kind of far off, but that verse made me think of this.
No, go ahead.
So anyway, let's try to streamline this here. He picks it down to Levi, and Levi began to do what?
Serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord in the tabernacle. He was the one who... Thank you. Who partook at the altar, wasn't he? But why just the one tribe? Why couldn't they all go in and do it? Why did he narrow it down?
I was going to say someone had to serve and someone had to be served.
Ooh. You know what? He had... Reuben was his firstborn, right? Simeon. Then Levi. The third son, right? Just curious. When they were having their baby fight, Leah and Rachel, and she says,
Reuben disqualified himself.
Yeah, when they were having the babies. When they were having
right,
the babies.
The baby race.
The baby race. She said something about Levi. I can't remember the verse. Genesis.
Is it in 48?
I think it's 30s.
When Jacob.
I think it's in the 30s.
The future, something about each one. But that's what Jacob said.
I think it's, well, you know what? It may be a. Sorry, I hate to take up so much time, but. It's in the 20s somewhere. 29. And verse 29:31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son, and she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband
Be joined
unto me. Well, wait a minute. They were already coming together, weren't they?
Yeah.
What did she mean?
She said, because I have borne him three sons.
She called his name Levi. She says, now that he's got three sons from me, he'll be joined to me. He's thinking, okay, now he will what?
Please.
So the Lord picks Levi as a object lesson. He says, I want this one. because he is going to symbolize what I want all of you to do, is to be what? Join to me. You know, when they come out, Moses said this. He says, God will make you a kingdom of Levites, priests.
Priests, yeah.
He says, I want you to be a kingdom of priests. They will all be Levi one day. So, you know what? It won't be. They will be standing back and waiting for him to come out and say, the Lord has accepted you. They'll all be. He said, this day, they'll all know me.
From the
He says, they won't have to say, know the Lord. You know what? There'll be 12 Levites out there. Anyway, it made me think when she said that. But he says, they partook of the altar, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The tribe of Levi did. And they were in there, and particularly, quit looking at the clock. I can't help it. But think about this. Now, they're in there. What verse am I on? Go back to Corinthians. Yeah.
You're in verse 17.
Verse, 18. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are they not? Yeah, that's partakers of the altar. Yeah, I got to get off this verse. One more thing while I'm thinking about this. Because Levi is serving in there, he partook of the altars. In particular, when Karen said that, it made me think of this. When you go into the tabernacle, accoutrements, right?
A chair to sit down in.
You go in there, right? And you go in there.
No chair to sit down.
Yeah,
that's
sacrifice is never stopped. There's no sitting down.
But like that's a good point. When Levi is in there, he's in there.
Sir.
He's joined to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But he's in the tabernacle doing what?
Serving the Lord.
Serving.
Yeah.
Not just the Lord.
The people.
The rest of the tribes. So you go in here and you have the candlestick on one side. You have, this is a rough picture. You have the altar. You got the altar incense in the middle, right? That's what I want. You got on that table, you got, right.
Table had wheels,
Those are feet.
No casters.
But it did have staves in it that they can pick it up and move it. But you have the showbread here. Guess who ate the showbread?
Well, David ate it at one point.
He wasn't supposed to.
He wasn't supposed to, but guess who ate it? The priest ate it.
Yeah.
And, well, you got 12 loaves. You know what that means, right?
High carb diet.
High carb diet. It represented the 12 tribes.
Bread.
The bread. And you think about when Levi, he's in there, and there's nobody in here but him. You got, and every Sabbath, day, they changed the bread out. They would eat this and put 12 new loaves on there. But you know what? It's divided into two rolls. There's six and six. here's your number. Six is labor. It's a number for 6 days shall thou
labor.
And the seventh day
rest.
And you know 12 is right. Service. I'm just.
That's also 2 weeks, and that was the course of a, of the priest, wasn't it? Then there were 24 courses in the in a year. So
yeah.
Every 2 weeks, there was a
different priest come through.
A difference. Yeah, they did rotate. Minister. They rotated. That's.
Yeah.
No, don't throw me off.
Well, that's, you were saying he eats the bread. That's what it jumped out at me. He's got his 2 weeks provision.
And the thing is, well, they, I mean, they, it was in there.
I understand. I'm just saying that jumped out at me, the way you drew it with the six and the six.
When I'm thinking of Levi, is every, the whole tribe is represented while he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's working for who? For
brethren.
Huh?
For everybody.
For everybody?
For Israel. His brethren.
Huh?
For the Lord.
For the Lord.
For the Lord. And the brethren or and the nation.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when he's in here, he's representing them. These are the prayers. This is their protection. The next step in here is what? When he goes into the Holy of Holies, that's when he makes the atonement, right? But he spent a lot of time in here. And Paul is saying, they minister an altar, are they not partakers of that? We're all, they were, he was representing, they're all one. He says, I'm in here, that's why he can eat that bread. But he replaced it. You know what Paul said to the Corinthians? He said, I will very gladly what? Spend
and be
spent for you. Though the more I love you, the less you love me. So when he gives that, Paul says, I became all things to all men that I might win some. He, his Levi's whole service was for the children of Israel. And yet, he's still serving who?
The Lord.
The Lord. The biggest thing when he says partaking of the altar, the Corinthians did this. He's, they were trying to partake of the idol altar.
Mm.
What is that telling the Lord?
That he's not the one true God. But
not just that. That's if he's, well, let's look at the verse. 10 minutes. He says,
I just had a question.
Okay.
About you saying that they're trying to partake of the idol altar. What do you mean exactly?
That's, he says, what say I then? He said, now if we know that if they those who partake of the altar in Israel's day, they were associating themselves not with just the Lord, but with the people also and everything that went along with it. Right?
They were joining themselves
to whatever.
That's why he called them harlots and whores, and because it was.
And they were associating.
Children passed through the fire.
To everything that they, everything that the Lord represented, everything that the Lord wanted for those people, Levi was, he was representing that. He was partaking of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, as a matter of fact, you remember when they were, when they committed fornication in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and Moses came out. He said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Guess who went on the Lord's side? Levi. And they killed a whole bunch of them. He says, What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. That's what the Israelites tried to do. They came out on God's table, but wanted to go back to Egypt's table. The minute they said, we want the leeks, we want
flesh.
They were saying, this table is better than this table. The Lord's table they despised. They were saying, you know, your provision, Lord, is just not, it's not cutting it.
We're glad you got us out, but now we want,
we want to do our own thing. And he says, you cannot do both.
Right.
You know what? We get saved as believers, and we really embrace the world, don't we?
You know what I got written right here? God don't like mixtures. You can't mix the two. You got to either be 100% over here for the Lord, and you can't be a 50% over here. You got to be 100% over here. And you're right.
We've mixed. I was with a guy Sunday. He says, "Come on up here. Sit up here. You're my guest."
Well, you
got
to sit on the stage.
We're talking. Well, we'll talk about this in chapter 12, though. This. He went just two hours preaching.
And you couldn't get out of there. You were trapped.
Whatever you are.
About tongues.
Oh, no. And you were squirming in your chair.
trying to
hold yours.
He said, the Lord don't want me to break this up. He don't want me to break this message up. And he kept going. But anyway, we're talking about that chapter 12. The mixture is we, and it's not just on the service end either. It's before you have to realize what you came out of and where you're going before you can appreciate and even make an intelligent decision. Mm-hmm. That's why he says, I want you to take this feast to remind you of why it's me. Why me? You know, he says, look at verse 22. He said, you can't take both of these. Even the Lord said that. He said, no man could serve
three masters.
Either he'll love the
one.
Despise.
He said, you can't. Who was that song? Trying to love two? Sure ain't easy to do.
Good country.
That was a blues song. He says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the devil's table. This man casts out devils by Beelzebub. And what did he tell about the Lord? He said, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, who you do it by? A house divided, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. So pick one. If I do it by Beelzebub, or if I do it by the Lord. He said, 22, we'll stop here. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? This should take them all the way back to Egypt. That's the object lesson. He said, just like they came out, what were they doing before the Lord showed up?
Enslaved.
They were enslaved, waiting. It's obvious that the gods of Egypt, the 10 that the Lord executed judgment on, they could not deliver. And when the Lord shows up, he says, I'm here to deliver you. And when he delivers them and provides, and they get out there and they look back, and he says, wait a minute. Why do you provoke me to jealousy with other gods, with the gods that you just left? So the Corinthians, they are in a pagan society. They're saved out of idolatry. And just like the Egyptians were going, or the Israelites were going back, the Corinthians said, you know, it's hard to do that. When you get saved, you carry those idols in your pocket for a long time, whatever they are. And the Corinthians, they say, you know what, it's hard to break away from that. You know, Sunday I go to the temple, but Friday I'm at the other temple. I'm at the other temple.
The lounge.
Because and he says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy?
Yeah.
Why would the Lord be jealous?
Because it's an exclusive relationship.
That's what he wanted. He wanted the Levi, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be joined for the service.
And it makes sense. You know, he's God. He's deserving of that, you know.
Are you going to share it with anybody? So, I understand the jealousy. So when he says, are we stronger than he, what is he implying by that rhetorical statement?
He's implying it's not a rhetorical statement.
Oh, I'm sorry. In other words, he's not really asking a question.
He's asking a question. Well, are we stronger than he? In other words,
can we defeat him or fight him? Or
is it about a jealous? Or is he referring to the jealousy
That's the thing. That's why I use the exact. They were in bondage. They could not help themselves. They were waiting for a deliverer.
Gotcha.
So when you get out, why do you provoke the Lord? Like, now you got it. You can do it on your own now.
Yeah.
He said, well, like you said, well, okay, we're free now, Lord. And thank you for the help.
Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you for the salvation.
We're going to hang out right here.
We'll take it from here,
right.
Set our own table.
Okay.
We'll set our own table.
Now that sentence, or that
and
question.
You know what? Here's a good example. Remember King Azariah? Anyway, he was Azariah. He's sick. And he says to his servant, he says, go to Ekron and inquire of the god Beelzebub, and ask him, am I going to get well? And he's on the way, and the Lord says, go catch them and ask. Let's look at this. Can we look at that? Kings, 2 Kings. Are we done?
Well, I have to be somewhere, so I'm just trying to get everything ready. So as soon as you're done, I can record it and go.
No, 2 Kings chapter 1. And this last one. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, Karen, say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed.
Wow.
So, you know what? Here's the king. He's already in idolatry. And when he gets sick, he says, go ask
Beelzebub.
Go ask for Beelzebub and ask him, am I going to recover? And the real God, who's the strongest, who is able to heal,
right,
he says, you go tell him. No.
You run back.
Is there because there's not a God in Israel that you do this? That's the same thing with Elijah. When he started off, he says, now the God who answered by fire, let him be God. He says, maybe he's asleep.
Yeah.
Maybe we make a little more noise. Maybe you got to wake him up.
More blood.
Do we provoke the Lord? Are we stronger than he? You know what? Why do we do the things we do?
Because we're making him behind.
We don't think he has the power to deliver. We think his arm is short that he cannot save. So we straddle like the Corinthians.
Okay, good.